Hello and welcome to episode 3 of the County Cricket Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron, also known as the Cricket Connoisseur. And on this week's podcast, I am, of course, joined by my fellow co-host, Joe Nuttall. So, Joe, mate, how's your week been so far?
Not bad, thank you. Just disappointed that a lot of the county games got rained out. Obviously, there was some that had results, but yeah, most of them got rained out. So, yeah, not bad.
Well, yeah, we'll be going through those as the podcast goes along. But just for the listeners at home, just give you a brief overview of this week's show. We're going to start with our rising star because we, funnily enough, have him on the podcast today. Then we'll be talking about the Bob Willis Trophy results. We'll be giving our performance of the week. And then we'll be rounding off the show with some news, obviously, from the county scene. And also a little preview of the T20 Blast. So, Joe, seeing as it's your turn for rising star of the week, would you like to introduce this week's guest?
Yeah, so firstly, it's great to have him on. And joining us today is Glamorgan all-rounder Dan Douthwaite. So firstly, Dan, welcome along. Thank you so much for joining us.
No, thank you for having me, guys. Hope you're well.
Yeah, we're all good. Thank you. So for those who don't know, Dan is sort of, I mean, you can give us a little brief overview of your sort of rise to through the ranks of Glamorgan, if you like. So just if that would be all right, just give us like a little, you know, sort of overview about your career so far.
Yeah, of course. So originally started at Cardiff MCCU. So that's where I kind of tried to juggle my uni studies with trying to become a professional cricketer. Got offered a deal at Warwickshire. Sorry, Aaron, that didn't work out for me because of the injury, but the year after I kind of found myself putting pen to paper for Glamorgan, and I don't want to insult Aaron again, but just in terms of, you know, opportunity and stuff, probably Glamorgan's, you know, been really good to me and probably a place to be playing a lot of first team cricket and getting exposure to, you know, international cricketers and playing a lot of cricket from there. So yeah, I'm happy with where I'm at the moment.
Well, yeah, that's fair enough.
sorry.
I can't really say anything about that. I mean, again, though, it is frustrating as a Warwickshire fan, just to give my perspective. Got Douthwaite, you're now going off, becoming a rising star. Tom Banton, who was with us through age cricket and then moved to Somerset and is now an England international. We do need to stop letting go of these young players. That's all I'll say. But hopefully we'll learn our lesson in the future. So, right, moving on to the first segment of this week then. We've got the Bob Willis Trophy results. So, for those who don't know, round 4 came to a conclusion this week. So, this week's results were as follows. In the North Group, Yorkshire and Lancashire ended in a draw. There's going to be a pattern here, by the way. Leicestershire versus Nottinghamshire ended in a draw. Durham versus Derbyshire ended in a draw. Moving on into the Central Group, Worcestershire versus Warwickshire. Any guesses, boys, what the result was?
Probably a draw.
Yep, ended in a draw, day 4 washout. Oh, we actually had a result, though, in the next game. Somerset beat Gloucestershire by 314 runs at Taunton. Dan will know this next one. Northants beat Glamorgan by 6 wickets at Wanted Road. And then rounding off this week's results in the South Group, Hampshire versus Essex ended in a draw. Middlesex beat Sussex by 5 wickets at the Radlett. And Kent beat Surrey by 17 runs at the Oval. So, boys, this week, I kind of want to know your star performances. So, who was your standout batsman for the week? We'll start with you, Dan. Who do you think really stood out?
I'm going to go left field and stay loyal. And I was there to witness it as well at the other end. I'm going to go Marshan De Lange hitting his first 100 in all professional cricket, I think, let alone Glamorgan or first-class cricket. And that was a record for the quickest ever Glamorgan first-class 100. So, yeah, that's it. That's him.
Well, not a bad choice. Just to give some context to those listening, that partnership, 168 run 10th wicket partnership from 19.4 overs. De Lange century, 78 balls, 113 runs. And then Dan, you are no slouch yourself, 86 from 92 balls. What a partnership.
Yeah, it was good. I'm still not quite over running past one on 80 odd. I kind of said to myself when I looked at the scoreboard, I was on 84, 85, like, Jesus, I can do this in singles here and bring up my first century for a club. And then a few balls later, I found myself halfway down the wicket trying to hit it back over bowler's head and stumped. So, yeah, not over the moon still. But like you said, Marshan was ludicrous that day, and believe it or not, all of his sixes, he didn't middle a single one of them. So I'm sure if he does middle any come this T20 campaign, you're going to see a lot more of what he did the other day.
Well, that's an ominous warning for any central group teams out there. Well, Joe, we'll go to you next. Who's your standout player of the week with the bats?
Well, Dan has stuck with his county. I'm going to stick with my county as well. I'm actually going to give it to Alex Davies. Now, he got 73 this week in a, unfortunately, as you said before, washed out game, a Roses game. He actually got 60-odd last week as well against Nottinghamshire, not out, in a good 100 partnership with Keaton Jennings. And although he hasn't turned up yet this season, he's played some really, really mature innings. And definitely, again, someone who's sort of flown under the radar for me. You know, he's just a really, really measured opening batter, but he scores quickly as well. And I get the impression, and Dan, you might be able to, you know, give us more input on this, is like he's quite a challenging to bowl to because he can, you know, sort of he moves the field around and manoeuvres the field well. So have you ever bowled to him, Dan? I'm not sure.
I haven't yet bowled to him, but I was at the, I think it was Colwyn Bay last year when it was Glamorgan, Lancashire. I was 12th man for that and I was watching him bat. And yeah, it looks pretty intimidating for a bowler in a 4-day game when someone is just hitting it as hard as he wants, where he wants. And it just looked like from ball one. So yeah, I wouldn't say I've got too much interest in bowling at him just yet. So I'm kind of thankful for that. But like you said, he does look very, very good. And he's got all the time in the world. So yeah, great batsman.
Yeah, he really is.
Yeah, I'd have to concur with that. Now, just before I say mine, we aren't all ridiculously biased, but mine is from my home team as well. Had to only be one player, Will Rhodes, 207 in the Pairs versus Bears derby. What an innings. 249 runs overall in the game. His average has now moved up to 65.16. He was absolutely sensational alongside Dan Mousley. Just had to be Will Rhodes. He was absolutely class. And yeah, shame that it got washed out. But yeah, definitely my player of the week. Regardless of bat on ball, Will Rhodes, my batsman of the week. So moving on to the bowl of the week. We'll start with you again, Dan. Who's your choice for this week?
I'm going to go left field again. And I'm going to stay loyal once more. And it's going to sound ridiculous seeing as he got one wicket in the 4 days of cricket. But I'm going to go for Michael Hogan. And yes, it was the batsman trying to hit him back over his head, but it was him bringing up his 600th wicket. So that was, you know, pretty epic to be there for. And even though it was at the end of a game and it was done and dusted and we knew we were going to lose, unfortunately, when they needed 10 to win, it was still really nice to be out there and celebrate his 600th first-class wicket with him. So that was pretty special, yeah.
Fair enough. Massive achievement as well. That is a momentous milestone for a brilliant, brilliant bowler for Glamorgan. And Joe, who's your bowl of the week?
So I've actually moved away from Lancashire now, surprisingly.
Surprise, surprise.
And I've actually gone for a Middlesex bowler. I've gone for Tim Murtagh, who got 7 in the match against Sussex, including 5 in the second innings, 5 for 34 in the second innings. You know, just a player who's really, really consistent, isn't he? He's just done it for years and years. And now we've seen him do it at Test level as well, at Lords last year. I mean, that was a fantastic spell of bowling on the first day, which, again, Aaron, you can...
I've witnessed that.
So yeah, that was a fantastic spell, and just, you know, someone who's really, really consistent, as I say, and is like always bowled well throughout his whole career. So yeah, Tim Murtagh again with 7 wickets this week, and just a quality bowler.
Yeah, 100%. As you said, quality, consistent, reliable, and yeah, bringing up memories of 85 all out. My goodness, that was a good day at Lords in 31 degree heat. 5 for 13, I think he got on that day. My goodness, at least Ollie Stone got some wickets, though. But with regards to my bowl of the week, I've got someone who'll be very familiar to Dan. He's a Somerset bowler. Before I say it, I just want to give a special mention to Josh Davey as well. He took 7 for in this match against Gloucestershire. But it's Craig Overton. So Craig took match figures 9 for 51 from 26.2 overs against Gloucestershire, which included 10 maidens. Just incredible. So Dan, I just wanted to ask you, what makes him so hard to face as a batsman?
Everything about him, I don't know. He's massive, his twins at the other end calling you every name under the sun, trying to take your head off, and he's nicking you off. yeah, I don't know, big guy running in, bowling quick. He gets the ball to move both ways in the air and off the deck. He uses his bumper. And what, I think I batted, you know, trying to bat out the rest of the day when we played against him first game for 15, 20 overs against him. And I don't think I got a bad ball off him in a 10-over spell. So, yeah, he doesn't miss his mark. He puts it down there at a serious pace and he does more than I'll ever do with a ball. So, yeah, I don't really enjoy facing him too much.
I'm not surprised. Do you think that he's got more England call-ups in the tank?
I mean, he has to. He has to. Like, if you look at his stats, I was looking last night because I'm a bit of a badger like that. I think Bob Willis Trophy this year, he's averaging 9 with the ball. Am I right in saying?
You are indeed.
Yeah. So, if you're averaging 9, I'd like to think you're getting another go playing Test cricket. And I've got no doubt after playing against him a few times last year and this year that what he's doing in county level, he'll 100% be able to do on the international stage. So, yeah, I do just think it's a matter of time.
Yeah, I completely agree. And just talking of tests, let's also mention Jimmy. Obviously, county cricket veteran as well. 600 test wickets. What a milestone. What a player. Joe, as a Lancashire fan, how was that for you? How proud of an occasion was it?
Yeah, it was really, really good to see. Obviously, like, just from a Lancashire perspective, and all the players were just sort of tweeting, and then the club was like retweeting it, just, you know, really embracing the occasion and embracing the pride as well. It was just, just to watch it on telly was obviously a really, really special thing to witness. And that, but imagine if there had been a crowd, and that would have just been incredible. And it's such a shame. I say that's the only bad thing about it. And also, you know, Stuart Broad's 500th wicket as well. There was no crowd in Old Trafford. But if there'd been a crowd in for both of those, that would have made it, you know, even more special. But just what an occasion. And it's just incredible. What a bowler.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of those occasions where you'll look back in 10, 20 years' time and think, I watched that. I saw him get Azhar Ali out with an absolute jaffer. But yeah, I agree. It was a shame. It was a bit bittersweet. And actually, Dan, I just wanted to ask you about this. How are you coping without the lack of crowd? Because obviously we've got the T20s coming up. We'll talk about that later. But how different is it for you playing to, well, pretty much just empty seats?
T20s, I'll be able to comment on that come tomorrow because we do get a decent crowd. But so far, playing Red Bull cricket for Glamorgan is not a massive difference in terms of crowds. It is more or less just a man and his dog there. But as I said, I think, you know, we will really miss the crowds that we do get at Sophia Gardens for the T20s. They do kind of give us that extra lift on a Friday night under lights, and the boys do get around it. So yeah, I'm sure we'll feel a bit weird about music and all the crowds and a few drunk people calling you a few names, but yeah, I think it will be different, but yeah, we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, different to say the least. I mean, I'm just thinking of Edgbaston. Like, we have a magnificent atmosphere
as well.
Come on. In fact, to anyone listening, let us know, Old Trafford or Edgbaston, what is the party home of English cricket? And Dan, because you're neutral on this, I suppose, which one would you choose?
I'm sorry, Joe, I've got to go Edgbaston. If you just think about kind of finals day.
Finals day wins it. That's what tips it over.
Finals day
tips it over.
The big
but
day.
I tell you what, a Roses match in the party stand, it's just, what an atmosphere. That Roses match a few years ago, when Root, Williamson, Butler played, I mean, yeah, that atmosphere was just incredible. I've never been to a more atmospheric cricket match in my life. Probably a more atmospheric sports match, I could argue. Essentially, but yeah.
No, you need to go to a Bears versus
Derby. It's a good debate.
In the Hollies stand, with the Warwickshire fans, singing the Jeetan Patel song. Trust me, you'll learn what a cricket atmosphere is then. But right, moving on to the news now from this week. It's been a relatively quiet week, to be fair, in the county game, which is a good surprise, I suppose. But we'll start with our first news topic, and that is Laurie Evans returning to Surrey. So Laurie made his debut for Surrey in 2005. Then he moved to arguably the greatest county in England, the mighty Warwickshire, in 2010. Had a very, very successful tenure with us. He won 3 trophies, I believe. Yeah, he won all 3. won the championship in 2012, Blast in 2014, One Day Cup in 2016. But now he is back at Surrey from Sussex. So, Joe, I'll start with you. How big of a signing is that for the London team?
It's a massive signing, isn't it? Because, you know, Laurie has been involved in England squads, England Lions squads, and he was in the Biosecure Ireland squad as well. And he's just a phenomenal player. He obviously knows a few of the lads from Surrey being there, so that won't, or from being there from young, so that won't necessarily take too much time in terms of settling back in. I think as well on the you know, in the Biosecure camp, you would have seen a lot of them, you know, like Tom Curran springs to mind, who he maybe doesn't know, who's a little bit younger than him. So that's obviously going to help him, and it's just a massive sign, isn't it? Because he's just a phenomenal batter, really. Because, you know, again, it comes back to the ability of being able to maneuver the field round. He's great against spin, uses his feet really well. Although there is one dismissal that springs to mind. I think it was against Hampshire last year, in the T20. Yeah, it's a great signing. It's a great signing for Surrey.
Yeah, definitely. Dan, how tough is Laurie Evans a prospect to face?
Oh, well, I bowled at him last year and he smacked me to all parts in that TV game at Sussex in the 50 over comp. But yeah, like, what you see is what you get with him. He'd never... doesn't hit runs. Whenever I've seen him playing a white ball game, he's always hitting runs, you know, whether it be TV games, one day cricket, finals day. Whenever I've tuned in and Laurie Evans is batting, it's always 50, 100 or more. So yeah, it's a massive signing, and he's probably one of the tougher, more consistent players to bowl to, 100%.
Yeah, I completely concur with that, and I'm very happy for him because obviously it's his boyhood club. He gets to go back to London. And I wish Laurie the best of luck, obviously, for Surrey for the foreseeable future. I think he signed a two-year deal up until 2022. So moving on to the second one, which is a signing, a pretty good signing as well, we must admit. George Muncy signing for Hampshire. So, Dan, would you like to just explain a bit about George Muncy? What do you know about him as a player?
Well, he's an opening bat, and I've only, you know, kind of heard of his name and seen his name opening batting in T20 cricket. I've seen him in a few of the kind of franchise tournaments. His, you know, record looks pretty good. So I'm kind of thankful we don't have to play Hampshire this year in that central group. But yeah, I've never come across him. But from what I've heard and seen of him, he does look a serious striker of the ball. Yeah.
Joe, do you want to add anything on that?
No, pretty summed up pretty well. He's just, yeah, he's seen a few of him, you know, a bit of him for Scotland as well. And I watched a lot of him in the GT20 out in Canada. And, you know, he just is just a brilliant opening batter. He's one of those players who, if he gets going, can easily get to 100 very quickly. You know, he's really, really destructive at the top of the order. And, yeah, I mean, it's a really, really strong signing for Hampshire, isn't it? Especially without Riley Rousseau. I feel like he may come in and sort of not necessarily take over from him, but certainly fill that void a little bit. So that's a brilliant signing for Hampshire.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I've got his stats here. I just had to bring up his stats because his strike rate, my goodness. In T20 internationals, it's 154. In T20s, it's 159.78. Averages 30, high score of 127, not out. He's a serious player. So for any bowlers in the South group, you've got your hands full with George Muncy. He's a brilliant, brilliant striker of the ball. And then moving on to another signing, someone who Dan will know very well, I suppose, for the next few weeks, Andy Balburnie signing for Glamorgan. So, Dan, how excited are you with the prospect of playing alongside Ireland's white ball captain?
Yeah, very, very excited. He kind of gives us a bit more stability in that top order, seeing as we can't, unfortunately, have Colin Ingram come back over. But, yeah. Like I said, very excited. We're missing a few boys, unfortunately, due to injury, like David Lloyd at the top of the order, which is a massive one for us. So he's just making that top five look a bit stronger. And then I imagine he'll undoubtedly have a few pearls of wisdom for us, having played, you know, international cricket for past five or however many more years, I'm not sure. But yeah, boys are very excited to have him around and see how well he goes for us.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a very wise signing, actually. Experience, yeah, can play the anchor really role, has the ability to kick on towards the last stage of an innings as well. I think that was a very, very smart signing. And going on to the final signing of the week, I suppose it's not a signing, but a re-signing. Jeetan Patel is back for his final season in county cricket. hopefully we as Warwickshire fans get to give them a nice send-off at Edgbaston if they allow some fans in. We don't know that yet. But I think it's his 12th season. I'm pretty sure my first game at Edgbaston 2009, that was his first season with the Bears. Just incredible. Joe, what do you think about G-San? Do you reckon he'll go out with some silverware this year?
If I'm honest, no. I mean, the Bob Willis Trophy is definitely out of it for Warwickshire now. Is anyone's game in the T20? And especially right now, because the T20's not even started yet. So it literally is anyone's game. And it's a funny game, T20 cricket. And, you know, it can go in any direction. I think Derbyshire proved that last year, being underdogs, which is not the best term, I don't think. But, you know, they obviously got to finals. They were not many people predicted them to. And it would be nice, obviously, for Bears fans like yourself to see G-Tan go out with the trophy. But it wouldn't surprise me if he did some kind of U-turn and stayed on another year so he can play one more year in fans. Is that something we could maybe see him doing?
No.
Because, no, you don't think? Because
he's not, he said it's his last year.
Ashwell Prince also said it was his last year from like the start of the year. I can't remember exactly what, I think it was 2015. Said it was his last year and then came back for one more year in 2016. It's happened, maybe, potentially. And I'm sure you would like to see him play for another year because the chances are you're more likely to not see him play this year than you are. So I'm sure you'd love to see him play, you know, a ground again for one more year. But yeah, he's not the, well, from a fan perspective, I don't really like it when Lanks come up against the Bears, partly because we can never beat you in T20 cricket and G-San always takes wickets against us. So yeah, I mean, he's a great player though.
Yeah, as you said, if we could see him, I mean, I'd like to see him for another five, if I'm being honest. He's always our leading wicket taker. Oh, and not only that, such a really, just a nice bloke off the field. Like, I've met him quite a few times at the charity matches that we have. We have the Neil Aberley Memorial Trophy. Just always so nice, so welcoming for fans. Just a really, just solid bloke. And Dan, what do you think about facing him? How are you going to go about attacking G-San for self?
I don't know yet, to be honest with you. Like you said, like leading wicket taker for the past few years, he always seems to be taking wickets and bowling, you know, quiet overs in T20 cricket. But yeah, hopefully it comes off. I'm just going to stand still and try and launch him as far as I can. You just have to wait and see.
If we see any slog sweeps from a Mr. D. Douthwaite on the scorecard, you'll know why, due to this podcast. But yeah, we keep on talking about the T20 Blast. Why don't we actually talk about the competition now? Because the Blast starts tomorrow. Dan's alluded to it. I mean, you're in action tomorrow against Worcestershire at Fire Gardens. So just to give the listeners at home just an overview of this year's tournament, it is slightly different. Obviously, the biggest difference, no fans, which is a massive shame. But just like the Bob Willis Trophy, there are three groups. So in the North group, you've got Yorkshire, Lancashire, Leicestershire, Nottinghamshire, Durham and Derbyshire. In the central group, you've got Dan's team, Glamorgan, my team, Warwickshire. Well, Birmingham, I suppose, in the T20, as we have to be known. Worcestershire, Somerset, Gloucestershire and Northamptonshire. And then rounding off the south group, we have Hampshire, Essex, Middlesex, Sussex, Kent and Surrey. So, right, lads, I suppose I have a question. Who do you think the top four is going to be? I'll start with you, Joe, on this one.
I mean, I think you're right now, I'm going to say Lancashire. I'm gonna back us. We don't have Joss Butler available, which is, I don't really understand why, because Joe Root is available for Yorkshire and apparently he doesn't need a rest. He's allowed to play. I think it's got something to do with the game being on Sky, but Joss Butler needs to be rested, which I don't really get why he does and Root doesn't. But yeah, I've got to back Lancashire. I'll definitely say Worcestershire. I think they're made for T20 cricket. They've been in finals day like the past 2 years. They're such a good side. And I probably put Essex in there. And then the fourth spot is open to a lot of people, to a lot of teams. Sussex are in there. I definitely think that Notts are in there. Yorkshire, you could argue, are in there, although I don't know if they'll beat us, like they haven't been for the last few years. I think definitely three of them will be Lancashire, Worcestershire and Essex. And then the other three spots are, the other one spot are up for grabs by three or four teams. But again, it also rests on the quarterfinal draw. For example, we could draw Worcestershire and then that's my prediction out of the window. But yeah.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point. Dan, what are your thoughts? Who do you think are the strongest teams heading into the tournament?
I'll get in a lot of trouble if anyone listens and I don't say Glamorgan number one. So Glamorgan number one, obviously. I'm going to say Northants too. I was just like kind of thinking about our central group and, you know, who's affected by people playing international cricket, who's got overseas, stuff like that. And if you look at Northants, they're not affected by any international call-ups. They've got Paul Sterling's overseas. I mean, you've got Cobb, Richard Levy, Rossington, Keogh, Wakeley. Like, the batsmen don't stop coming at you. So that's going to
sell us, Corinne.
And like on a tiny ground, I feel like they're going to hit a few massive totals and really push on in that competition. So Northants for sure. Like Joe said, Worcester seem to, you know, be there or thereabouts every year. Yeah, I'm just naming teams in our group. It sounds like a pretty tough group, doesn't it? and we've got Worcester tomorrow, Jesus. And then I think I would probably go number four, Essex, to try and do the double. I think they're just a great club in all three formats and they showed how good they were in T20 cricket last year.
Fair enough. Some interesting choices there. Northants, imagine if they had Kieran Pollard as well. My goodness, they would have been a brilliant team this year. So mine are slightly different. Again, forget the bias for 1 second, but you never know. We've got G-Tan back now. That's a difference. If we didn't have G-Tan, I wouldn't be ruling us out completely, but I think now we've got the experience, got Henry Brooks, got Ollie Stone back. I think he's actually fully fit now, which is fantastic. Got a good batting lineup. Hopefully Dom Sibley can be back at some point as well. Maybe Chris Wokes, obviously, you've just said.
You've got an all-rounder in Dom Sibley, haven't you?
Oh, my goodness. That leg break, and that was in front of Shane Warne in the comms box as well. Must have been so proud a moment for him. But yeah, so I'll go Birmingham. I suppose I'll go Worcestershire as well. I have to. Worcestershire are pretty much a preset team, aren't they, when it comes to T20. They've been in the past two finals day. Runners-up last year, winners in 2018. I'm going to go Sussex as my third one. The Sharks, so strong. Such a strong team. And if you think they have Jofra back and maybe Jordan, and even if they don't have those two, you've still got the likes of Briggs, Beer, Garton. They're just a fantastic team in T20 cricket. So I'll go with the Sussex Sharks, my third. The fourth one's an interesting one. I think I will choose Nottinghamshire Outlaws with Alex Hales, Duckett, Nash, Mullaney, Trigo, Patel. I mean, the list goes on and on. That's not even including Gurney. So, yeah, I'll probably go those four. Birmingham, Worcestershire, which would be an interesting final. Sussex and Nottinghamshire. But yes, so that is our predictions for finals day. That will happen on the 3rd of October. Before we also just wrap up the, wrap up and go on to the predictions for this week, I also want to get your leading run scorers and leading wicket takers, lads. So, Dan, who do you think is going to be leading run scorer and leading wicket taker in this year's competition?
Leading run scorer, I'm going to go for my good mate, Phil Salt.
Nice choice.
Very good shot.
I don't really know what to add on that. You see him do it, like, game in, game out. And then leading wicket taker, I'm going to go for Harry Gurney. You just mentioned him. Strikes me as an absolute magician, and I'm thankful that I haven't had to face him just yet in my career. Has the ability to bowl kind of mid-80s, pushing 90, nails his Yorker, and from what I've heard, boys are struggling to pick a slower ball that looks like it's going to hit you in the head, then dips and hits you on the shoe. So, yeah, I'm going to go Phil Salt and Harry Gurney.
Good choices. Joe, what about yourself?
Well, I'll start with the leading wicket taker. I think it's pretty obvious who I'm going to go for. I'm going to go for Matt Parkinson. He is fit, which is a good sign. If he doesn't get caught up by England, which fingers crossed he won't because he's not fit enough to go and play for England, but he's fit enough to still play for Lancs and take a wicket. So I'm going to go for Matt Parkinson as the leading wicket taker and leading run scorer. I'm trying to think who could go. Phil Salt's a great shout. Paul Sterling, good shout. There's a lot of good shouts. I'll go for Phil Salt as well. Dan's already said it, he's just a brilliant player. He scores runs every single time. So yeah, I'll go for Phil Salt as well.
Yeah, some good choices there. I'll tell you what my heart says. G-Tan leading wicket taker. Sam Hain leading run scorer. Birmingham secure their second T20 Blast Trophy in the past decade. In terms of what the head says, though, leading run scorer, Babar Azam has to be. Last year's leading run scorer, 578 runs, averages over 50 in his T20 career, which is absolutely astonishing. So I imagine that the imperious Somerset batsman will top the rankings again this year. In terms of wicket taker, I do think Jeetam will be up there, and I think Gurney is a great shout. Because, as you said, that slower ball, it's just so deceiving and deceptive. It's a brilliant delivery that he has in the arsenal. I'm actually going to choose, though, for leading wicket taker. And Roger, you're going to be happy with this. I think Matt Parkinson could be up there. Because I said this, you think of small grounds in that North group, they're going to go after the spin. And when you think of Matt Parkinson's ability to flight the ball, he's got some great variations as well. He can change the pace of his deliveries. He's a very wily character. So I imagine that he'll be up there. And if he stays fit, and he's a massive if, and if he doesn't get called up for England, I think Matt Parkinson might be up there challenging for the top leading wicket taker this year. So to round off this week's podcast, boys, time to go into this week's predictions. So we'll start with the North group, and I'll start with you, Dan. So Derbyshire versus Leicestershire at Grace Road. What are you thinking? Who's going to win this match?
Derbyshire. Got a lot of momentum behind them. They're top of the North group in the Red Bull comp, aren't they?
Yep.
And I'm a big believer that, you know, if you're doing it in one form of a game, it's pretty easy to take that momentum into the other, which, you know, isn't a great sign for us being bottom of the central group, but hopefully we can turn that round. But yeah, Derby did it last year, and I'm sure they'll be there or thereabouts this year again.
Yeah, fair choice. Joe?
Yeah, I agree. Derby, same reasons. Great side. Good mix of youth and experience. So yeah, Derby for me.
Yeah, I'll round out the clean sweep. I've also gone with the Falcons. Purely because when you look at them as well, as Dan said, the Red Bull form, and you think Ravi Rampal's going to be back. You've got Critchley, Deploy, Reese, Godelman, Madsen. The list just goes on and on. So yeah, we'll go with the Falcons to win that one. Next match, Durham versus Lancashire. Well, we'll leave that last till Joe. So, Dan, who do you think is going to win this one?
Lancashire. Just, again, looks on paper and from previous form like a just better white ball team and a team that you'd expect to come out of a, not an easy win, but definitely a win in that fixture.
Yeah, fair comment. Again, I think Lancashire will win this one. But with that being said, Durham, don't discount them. You think at the top of the order, Scott Steele, he's one to look out for, as is Liam Travaskis with the ball. If those two get firing, then Durham could be in this game. But yes, we'll go to the Lancashire fan for the final prediction on this one. Who's going to win at the Riverside, Joe?
I think it's pretty obvious I'm going to say Lancashire. Although you did say about Liam Travaskis, I do remember him defending. I think it was 2 years ago, he defended three off the last over.
Yeah.
I think it was three off the last over. That was a televised game at Old Trafford. So, I mean, he's a great bowler. But yeah, I do think we will have too much firepower in Durham. But yeah, not that Durham aren't a good side, they're a solid white ball side.
Yep, fair comment. And then the last game in the North group, which is Yorkshire versus Nottinghamshire. I've gone to Nottinghamshire win. I think the Outlaws will have too much firepower for Yorkshire. But it's going to be a great game. Boys, what do you think? We'll start with Joe on this one.
Yeah, I think Notts win as well. Obviously, I'm going to say that 9 out of 10 anyway, being a Lancashire fan. But no, I do think a Notts win. Again, like you say, they've just got a great T20 side. So, yeah, a Notts win.
Fair enough, Dan. Do you agree, disagree?
Yeah, I agree. Just like you said, too much firepower. It's just that I'm sure they're going to be leaving people out of that starting 11 serious white ball players as well, and their squad just looks riddled with world-class T20 cricketers. So yeah, I think they should come away with a win there as well.
Yep, so again, we're all in agreement so far. I think this is where we're going to change. Glamorgan versus Worcestershire at Sapphire Gardens. We'll start with Dan. So who's going to win this one, Dan?
Glamorgan nail-biter.
Oh, even called the match itself.
Yeah, Balburnie, debutant, Dalthwaite, quickfire, 70. I don't know, something like that.
Brilliant. Joe, who do you think is going to win this one?
I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a Worcestershire win. I'm sorry, Dan. I think it's going to be a Worcestershire win. We've already said how strong they are in T20 cricket. I just think they will beat any team other than Lancashire. They will beat any team on their day. And Birmingham. they're just made for T20 cricket. So, yeah, not that. Again, nothing to take away from Glamorgan. just that Worcestershire are levels above anyone or virtually anyone in England. So,
yeah, fair enough. The inner Warwickshire fan would love for Dan Douthwaite to get a 5 for nice quick 50 as well and get Glamorgan to a victory. So, yeah, I would like Glamorgan to win, I suppose, from a tactical point of view. But I do think on paper, Worcestershire probably do have a very, very strong team. And to be honest, in terms of the central group as a whole, they are the strongest team on paper. So yeah. I'll go the Rapids to win, but I would like to see Glamorgan get a result if possible. So next game in the central group, Gloucestershire versus Northants in Bristol. This is an interesting game. Dan, who do you think is going to come out on top in this one?
Northants, like I said earlier, like their firepower just looks ludicrous to me. And Sterling's only added to that. So, yeah, I think I haven't really alluded to their bowlers, but their batsmen, I feel like, can get the job done this season as much as any other sides, which is, I know, a big call, but they've done it before and I'm, you know, kind of expecting them to do it again, having seen their T20 squad for this week.
Yeah, that's fair. Blessing Mazar Barney, watch out for him for anyone at home. Joe, who do you think is going to win this one in Bristol then?
Yeah, I agree with Dan. I think a Northants win. I think this is very much a game of a really, really strong Gloucestershire bowling against a strong Northants batting lineup. Not that they're, you know, vice versa for each team. You know, Northants bowling and Gloucestershire batting aren't strong, but I think specifically they are the stronger aspects of each side. So I think this is going to be a really interesting game between bat and ball. I mean, you've already said look out for Blessing. He's you know, a brilliant fast bowler, and obviously Gloucestershire have some good batters as well, Miles Hammond, people like that. So yeah, but I do think a Northants win. Like I say, I think Paul Sterling is going to be a really strong or big help for Northants, and I think they will probably get over the line.
I like that you mentioned Miles Hammond. He's a ridiculously underrated player. I've gone Gloucestershire winning this. They've got a great home record. You think of their bowling attack spearheaded by David Payne, and we mentioned it earlier, Red Bull form could transfer into this tournament. David Payne's been phenomenal. So I've gone with Gloucestershire winning that one in Bristol. And then the third and final one of the central group, Birmingham Bears versus Somerset Edgbaston, obviously without a crowd. Joe, who's going to win this one?
You know what? I'm going to back Birmingham Bears. I'm going to back Birmingham Bears. I think the fact that Jeeton's back is going to flood them with confidence. And Somerset will be missing Banton and they'll be missing Baba at the top of the order. That's two new openers. That completely can change the dynamic of their side. You know, Baba and Banton complement each other. Two new owners, whoever they may be, will completely change the dynamic of the side. I actually think that could knock them a little bit. And their bowling attack, of course, is very strong. But I just think Birmingham will capitalise on that change at the top of the order. And yeah, I'm going to back Birmingham for this game.
Good choice. Dan, do you agree or disagree with that?
Yeah, Joe said they're missing those two. Am I right in saying they're missing Gregory? Is he in the T20 squad for England?
Yes, he is, yeah.
Yeah.
You're right, yeah.
That's another one down. I'm going to... Missing those three massive players, I'm going to go for Birmingham. Not saying I would have not gone for Birmingham from the start. Sorry, Aaron. But yeah, like, that's just kind of made it a lot more clear for me. I'm going to go Birmingham there.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I've also gone Birmingham, so we're back in agreement, lads. Yeah, not only that, when you think of our record, first game of the season, we haven't lost since 2015 when we lost the Notts. So we've got that behind us. The GOAT's back and hopefully bowling well. Just come off of being a spin consultant in England series win. So yeah, I think that Birmingham will come out victorious in that one. And as you said, Banton and Azam, that's 1,100 runs lost there, which is staggering. So yeah, Bears winning that one in my view. So finally, wrapping up the South group, Kent versus Hampshire in Canterbury. Dan, who do you think is going to win that one?
Oh, I'm going to go Kent there. Yeah, Kent. Don't ask me why. I'm just saying Kent. I don't know why.
No, it's going to be a good game, that one. Joe, who are you thinking?
Yeah, I think Kent as well. I think they've got, you know, some top quality players in their lineup or who go under the radar. I think they're very much an underrated side. Obviously, they'll miss Mohammed Nabi. They'll miss Faf du Plessis, who played a little bit last year. They'll miss Sam Billings, especially, you know, as a leader. But yeah, I think Kent will win that.
Yeah, I've also gone Kent. As you said, batsman, Bell Drummond, watch out for him this season. And also Imran Qayyum, someone who doesn't really get enough recognition in my view, but a fantastic spinner for Kent. Yeah. for the past couple of seasons. So yeah, I've gone Kent winning at home again, strong record at the Spitfire Ground. Essex versus Middlesex at Chelmsford. Joe, I can guess who you're going to say for this one.
Yeah, Essex.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, they're just such a good T20 side, and like, you know, I mentioned earlier how good Worcestershire are, and Essex actually beat Worcestershire in the final, which obviously is a one-off game. There's not really much history to compare it between, but that just shows how if Worcestershire are good, Essex are like that much better than them. And yeah, they're just a brilliant side, aren't they? Harmer, Dan Lawrence up there, Tom Wesley, Cam Delport. They've just got a great side.
Yeah, 100%. Dan, who do you think is going to come out on top in Chelmsford?
Yeah, like Joe said, there's stars all over that team sheet for Essex. So I'm going to back Essex to pick up where they left off last year.
Yeah, I concur with that. I've also gone an Essex win. And then the final game of the round. This is a really interesting one. I suppose we'll call it the Laurie Evans Derby. Sussex versus Surrey in Hove. Dan, who do you think is going to win this one?
Sussex. I'm going to say Phil Salt's going to whack it and Tamal Mills is going to knock a few stumps out of ground.
Fair comment that. Yeah, Tamal Mills. Be good to see him back. Remember his hat-trick a couple of seasons ago? Yeah. But Joe, who do you think is going to win this one?
Well, firstly, can Laurie play for Surrey? Or is he not allowed to play? I've no idea.
I'm still not 100% sure on that.
I'm going to back Surrey here. I think they'll have Sam Curran back. They'll have Folks, obviously, back with them now. He's just off the back of 100 as well. And Ollie Pope, if he's fit, will be back. I just think, yeah, Surrey, I don't know. I think they might bring a surprise. I think this will be shock of the round, not because, you know, Surrey are necessarily a lesser team, but because, again, Sussex are just such a strong T20 side. So I'm actually going to back Surrey here.
That's bold, in my view. Missing Finch, missing Roy, missing Tahir. But as you said with Tom Curran's brilliant. I mean, Dan, you'll know firsthand. Bowled out, was it 44 last year, Glamorgan?
Something like that, yeah. I was sat at the non-striker's end on my bat on six not out, wondering why everyone was nicking him.
Well, yeah, but they can spring a surprise, can't they, Surrey? They quite an underrated bowling attack, aren't they?
Yeah, 100%. They've got players that have always been in and around those England white ball squads. I wouldn't be massively shocked if Surrey do spring a surprise. But like I said, I'm going to stick with Sussex for now. But yeah, not shocking if Surrey come out with a win at the same time.
Yeah, that's a fair way of putting it. I've gone Sussex winning this one purely because it's at home. We've mentioned all of their star power and calibre. Yeah, I think the Sharks will come out victorious. Right then, boys, that pretty much wraps up the podcast. So, Dan, just before we go, do you have any social media to promote, for example?
Just follow me on Instagram.
What is your Instagram?
Dan_Dalfour88.
Brilliant. So, yeah, anyone listening to this, go and follow Dan. I'm guessing you'll be posting some stuff during the blast, Dan, or you're not much of a social media guy.
I do when I hit runs, so hopefully runs tomorrow, and then that'll be all over Instagram for you guys to see. If not, I'll be fairly quiet on Instagram.
Brilliant. Well, as I said, if you're listening to this, drop him a follow. And also, if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, please give us a rating and a review. It just helps us out, gets us up the charts a bit, allows more people to give us a listen. But yeah, that wraps up the podcast, boys. From me, just want to say thank you very much. And to everyone who's tuned in for this week, thank you, and we'll see you on the next one.